always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
That's where I'm at. Like, the Lakers need to build a good team. And I've compared it to, you know, you have your final exam. You saw some of the answers to the test, but the test is the next day. And it's like, you can't really study for all of it in one night, but can kind of build towards that. And like, Anthony, you have to get the center down this summer. Like, whatever you do, whatever wings you get, fine. I can live with, I can figure it out. If you want to bring back Smart, Rui, et cetera, like all those moves make sense in a vacuum, but the center position is the one that has got to be figured out this summer. That's got to be locked down. It can't be a stopgap center. You know, that Gafford is a name that's out there. To me, that's more of a backup as well. But your starting center, to me, needs to be locked down going into next season. And hopefully they can do that in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
All right. I'm not disagreeing with you about, like, the Lakers' chances at Giannis.
Yeah.
Or even necessarily about, like, the fit and all of that stuff. My argument for Giannis was always pretty simple. The one thing that the Lakers in this front office is good at is getting the superstars. So let's just start there, work with your strengths, and then kind of build out from there. Now, what I will say, though, like, now that we see that the Lakers aren't or weren't on that list, and I think Warriors fans are going through this too, is, like, you can't have Giannis be a key figure in your summer of 2026 plans and then not be on that list. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have Giannis, you know, be, you know, kind of a big reason why you're trying to become as flexible as you possibly can. That he can't be one of the key reasons there and then not be one of the teams that he would have signed an extension with, because that just tells me that there was a lack of intel on the Lakers' part there that we've seen before. We've seen them believe that they were getting Kawhi Leonard and then they didn't get him, which maybe now that means the Lakers are going to win the championship because they thought they were in on Giannis and then they weren't. And then now it's on them to build a roster built more on depth and all of the things that won them in that championship in 2019-2020. That to me is, that's the takeaway that I don't think I've seen enough of, is like, you can't, and Warriors fans, again, they're like, I know Sam and Andy are hammering this point home there too, that it's in to an even further extent, because the Warriors spent half a decade thirsting after Giannis and then weren't on that list. For the Lakers here, like, I know that they stressed optionality and that they have, you know, more options beyond Giannis this year, but you got to be on that list. And if they, you know, the fact that they weren't, at least according to Chris Haynes, who, as I just mentioned a second ago, obviously isn't working with perfect information, but I trust that he has at least that after the fact. You got to be on that list. And if you aren't, then this was a bit of a miscalculation.
Warriors, it felt like it was a little bit more overt, right? I felt like Joe Lacob was kind of going around like, hey, you know, we have a chance at Giannis. But, did the Lakers make a trade?
No, I didn't see it.
I saw it on the chat. Okay. But yeah, the Warriors felt like they were a little bit more over in their want for Giannis. That's what makes this summer so interesting to me, Anthony. Like, do the Lakers really, like, they've been obviously saving this space, I think, to get another star. That's the whole point of all this, of the optionality, was not to go. The optionality was not to create room for two more role players, right? The optionality was always, all right, when that next star becomes available, we're ready. Now, whether that's Giannis, whether that's whoever's next, but that kind of flies in opposite of the importance of this summer. And that's where I'm kind of interested in, is like, is this a summer it's finally a, hey, we're just going to build the team for next season like they did in 2019, right? You got LeBron, you got AD. everything you're doing now is just for that 2019-2020 season. Is this the summer where you do the same thing? So that's where I'm kind of at. I don't really, the Giannis stuff to me died a while back, and you're right, if that was a North Star for them, then you know, that obviously didn't work out, and I don't think there was very much interest there from Giannis's side. Just didn't feel like it matched his, like, what he was going for. And he's kind of been reported he still wants to be the main ball handler, all this type of stuff, right? That goes even extra detailed into what he wants. But that's what I'm interested in this summer. The three first that they've campaigned on is, to me, I've advocated for trading that for role guys like Murphy and Herb Jones. Like, I would do that deal. Now, Minnesota, the Pelicans' asking price is a little high, at least reported right now, for all their players. Misi and Herb Jones and Murphy specifically all are supposedly commanding multiple first-round picks. Yeah, which, yeah. I mean, then just keep them on your team. I'm interested to see if the Lakers decide to do that this summer. Kind of fill out the roster with maybe not stars, but like that tier right under it, which I think they're going to have to do if they want to contend next season. That's kind of the push and pull, I think, of this offseason.
We'll see how this plays out. Let's talk about all right, I'll let you choose. We could talk about Austin's market.
We what can pick talk, are we at, by the way? By the way,
15.
No way.
We got, yeah. Although the pick is in, or at least Scotto is reporting that the pick is in. So we got 8 picks to go. We're halfway there. Like, we're on pace, like, for this to be an hour-ish show. Like, it's not like I'm going to be like, all right, Raj, break down this.
No, I'm saying no, because, like, the draft started at 5, so they did 15 picks in an hour and a half, in an hour 40.
Yeah. Well, they made this a 2-night event, and that you knew that they were going to stretch this out, right?
Yeah. Like,
I thought that would make these commercials.
Well, I thought that would make
these shorter. I think Adam Silver just took a hydration break. Like, it's just like, but yeah, the let's really talk quickly. Or I'll let you choose. You could talk about Austin's market with the way that the summer has played out for him. We could talk about the Lakers center opportunities. I did get a bit of an update today on LeBron that we could talk about here too. You could choose between those three things.
Okay, let's do the center market. I think that's the most fascinating one to me, and I think the most important one. I'll push this on you too. To me, like, if it's not Kessler or Hartenstein, the plan B's, Anthony, do not excite me very much. Now, I like Gafford. I can take Gafford if the rest of your roster, like, if you're able to go get, I don't know, people are lower on him than I am, but like, if you can go get Lu Dort, like, okay, like, I got a point of attack wing that is elite at what he does. Then I went and got Gafford, and maybe you fill out the roster with a few other players, whatever it is. I can at least like live with that in some sense. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they go if you don't get Kessler, if you don't get Hartenstein. Like, the list becomes Mitchell Robinson. Did you see the centers Ramona posted about, by the way, today? That she tweeted. What was the name? The guy from the Jalen Smith. From the Bulls.
Jaden Smith,
yes. And then one other center from the Hawks, which, like, that can't be the centers that
Okongwu?
You think of. No, not Okongwu. It was like their backup.
They can't get him.
No, it wasn't him. It was two centers that, let's just say, would not go over well if those were the two centers that you brought in for this offseason. I'm trying to see if I can.
Yeah, I mean, centers for the Hawks.
What's the
Hawks? Does she think Capella is still there?
No, it wasn't Capella. It was a chat. Help me out. It was a Euro center, I believe. Or I forgot. Oh, Sandro from Toronto. Excuse me, not from the Hawks. Yeah.
Oh, Mamu.
Mamu. Yes, 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 yes.
Or Mamu. My bad.
Yes. Like, fine players, but that can't be your centers that you bring in for next season. Also, neither of those really fit to me. Jalen Smith, I mean, maybe he's a little bit of a lob threat, but yeah, I struggle to find the plan B.
I mean, have they even gotten close to a plan A? Like, I've been on the record. I've reported that they've had talks with Utah about a sign and trade for Walker Kessler, but I haven't heard any momentum or motion on that front. And they're getting ready to use the number 25th, you know, number 25 tonight, which could be involved in a trade that like convinces Utah to move off of Kessler. Like if basically their hope in those negotiations with Utah is either send him to us for a small trade package, or we're going to sign him to a $35 million a year deal that completely fucks up your books. Like if you're Ainge, you say, do it. That means you have to renounce LeBron. That means you have to renounce Rui. That means you have to operate in that way. And then if we just match that deal, now you don't have bird rights on LeBron and Rui, which really makes your roster kind of difficult to figure out if plan A in this case doesn't pan out, you know?
Well, I think they were always going to renounce LeBron. I mean, he has a $58 million cap hold.
I'll just really quickly mention this then. I think there's momentum towards them signing LeBron to a shorter term deal that pays him an amount that isn't offensive and lowers that cap hit by more than half. I think they would, if they do that, that would have to happen relatively soon.
Yeah, that would have to happen pretty soon.
Yeah, it would have to happen very soon. And then on Rui, you know, I think like one thing that I've been kind of asking around is like, who is paying Rui $20 million a year? So I think there's a decent shot that Rui is back at the same number he was playing at last year, you know, so that they don't offend him. Or they just tell him, like, you know, go find a better deal. Most we can offer you is the mid-level exception, you know, whatever it would be. And and now, like, if you're Rui, do you say, well, you know, like, I played really well for you guys and now I'm getting a pay cut, you know, from you guys. I'd rather take the most another team can pay me rather than you guys kind of lowballing me here. I do think Rui is very loyal. So like maybe there's a chance that he takes a little bit less, but yeah, at least on the LeBron front, it's either you renounce him and you get all of that cap space, and then you hope to retain him at the mid-level exception, or you sign him to a deal very, very soon, meaning next, you know, sometime in the next week, basically, or even sooner, like especially if they're going to start talking sign and trades or offering a contract on the first day of free agency to Walker Kessler. That needs to be figured out in short order. But you know, to that effect, I will say that, like, you know, LeBron and Clutch and the Lakers had been in contact over the course of the year, and then you know, they've spoken here and there since LeBron got back from his vacation, and so I do think that that'll be figured out. I think it'll be a couple years, 50-ish mil.
Yeah, I mean, they can renounce him and then still re-sign him, right, with cap space. But I just feel like the Lakers didn't save cap space for 2 years to keep LeBron's cap hold. You know,
I think the cap hold is gone no matter what.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, maybe they do. They re-sign him. LeBron has publicly came out and said he's going to take time with his decision, and I'm sure they are negotiating a number, but. Like I'd be surprised if that got done this week. And so like my guess would be they throw an offer at Kessler, and then if that, you know, if that's just not available, they then turn to like Peyton Watson or these other free agents where they don't have to give much in draft assets. They can just take the player for free, quote unquote. I think that would be my guess. Kessler, if it is a sign and trade, the Lakers aren't giving up much within that. I mean, that like that's like a favor to the team. You don't really get much, since the incumbent team doesn't really get much back in a sign and trade. So, but that would be like, again, like that's where it gets dark. Like you get from Kessler, you mentioned Ware, but it feels like Milwaukee's just going to keep him. And good for Milwaukee, by the way, getting Hawkes, Ware, and Hero. Like that is, they got everything you could from, and plus the player that, you know, you've pronounced, and I won't try to pronounce it here, but
Yasikonis?
Yeah, I think that was right. So I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with this offseason. Like the center needs to be figured out, or at like the minimum, it's got to be a Gafford type that's has so much chemistry with Luka, it kind of override maybe some of the talent gap that he has, right? Like the chemistry between Luka and Gafford is there. Like that for sure would be from day one, they would have synergy, and you would maybe even pick up some wins, some early wins, just on those two being on such a, on the same page that you might not get from the talent from like a Walker Kessler, but the center position has to be upgraded. Even if we'll see if Aiden comes back, if he picks up his option, which I feel like he will. And you mentioned Rui, that's another thing. I just don't know where the money's coming from. All the cap space teams are done, don't have space. So Rui's another guy that, you know, just might get squeezed within that of the number they have. But yeah, his cap hold might stay because it's what, $18 or $20 million, I think, his cap hold. Might work with that, but the center position has got to be figured out though.
All right. So here's the NBA.com bio on the player in question here. Quote, the name is pronounced Kasparis Yakuchonis.
Yakuchonis. Okay.
And he received the nickname Cass or K while in somebody's calling him K. Like you couldn't even go with Cass. But yeah, the Yakuchonis.
Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about Minnesota just completely giving Julius Randle away. I mean, just straight dump to pay IO, I guess. Like there was some,
you know,
a little bit of a connection there. But Randle, I mean, I think Randle's really good. There's probably like a ceiling on his playoff ability, but I think they're going to miss him. Like he's like, they need another like forceful driving ball handler. And so we'll see what they do. But yeah, this is like the second summer in 3 years where they just dump a really good player. I mean, Towns, now Randle.
Well, it's kind of hard to say that they're just dumping. They dumped Towns on a player. I mean, you just called a really good.
Yeah, that's fair. But I mean, that was a cost-saving move, though. Like the Towns for Randle was to save money.
No, I mean, like, look, you had, and by the way, breaking news here, being that Memphis is trading Bennett Sturts to the Oklahoma City Thunder for 2 second-round picks. What the hell is Memphis doing? Just giving them a near lottery pick for 2 seconds?
Go through the trade again. I'm sorry. So they traded their
traded. So Memphis just drafted at 16, Bennett Sturts.
Okay.
And then they traded him to the Oklahoma City Thunder for 2 second-rounders. How is that all you get for a near lottery pick?
Was that the cost of the 16th pick? Was 2 seconds?
2 seconds?
Something doesn't feel right there.
I need to know what dirt Sam Presti has on everybody else in the league.
It's like if me and you have a conversation with Sam Presti, a first rounder will just pull out of our pocket and he'll pick it up. Like, oh, thank you. Like that's the cost of talking to Sam Presti. I can't even make
picks. How did you get a first rounder from me? I swear. Like, yeah. Like Sam Presti walks into every negotiation. He's like, guys, I have this business model.
Right.
And if you just work under me and then bring in two other people, you can get a cut of their, you know, commissions. And then, yeah, like, I'll just get a small commission from you. It's like, Sam, you're running a pyramid scheme.
Yeah,
like,
pyramid scheme, yeah.
What is happening? By the way,
all right, find the trade.
Who the hell is Bennett Sturts, first off?
I don't know, but it's not a good thing to me when Oklahoma City comes to you and goes, we want that guy.
Well, the only reason I was thinking maybe they were trading for him is because he would be like a European player who, like, they would be stashing, right?
Oh, so no, they traded 2 seconds and swap 16 for 17. So they get the 17th pick. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's not just 2 seconds. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, Jesus Christ.
What a position is Bennett?
Because Shams' first tweet was Memphis's trading number 16.
Oh, pick. Yes. Yeah, Shams, you gotta do the full tweet. You can't. You're right. His initial tweet is just straight 16 pick for 2 seconds.
Thanks, Shams. You've sent three tweets all night. How do you fuck up one of the three that you send?
Anyway. I feel like you gotta delete that one, though. Like, I feel like that one's gotta be deleted and you put the full tweet out.
Yeah. Thanks to Jake Fisher, who actually got it right. That makes more sense.
Like, yeah. I'm just shocked that he left this up. Sources: Memphis is trading number 16 pick Bennett Sturts to the Oklahoma City Thunder for 2 second-round picks. That's still, like, up, and people are sharing it. Anyway.
So anyway, what were we talking about? The center?
Oh, yes. Options, yeah.
Center plans? So the part of, like, what is driving me kind of crazy here, Raj, is that, like, this again, like, just we talked about with the Giannis thing. The Lakers front office have had this plan in place for several years. And this is the summer that they promised Luka Doncic would be worth it. After kind of, you know, kicking the can on three transaction cycles, two of three transaction cycles, depending on who you talk to about the Mark Williams thing. So, like, to go from, to basically have those conversations with Luka, and then heading into this draft, Luka Doncic in his camp is, you know, they're talking very clearly about what they expect from this front office. And now it's like every time you and I talk about, you know, center options that the Lakers have, it always involves some team helping out the Lakers, right? Man, we sure do hope Oklahoma City's books are so bad that they're okay with moving off of Isaiah Hartenstein. Boy, we sure do hope that the Utah Jazz and their books look so bad and that their front court is so crowded that they're okay moving off of Walker Kessler. Now, it does help to a certain extent with Rob coming from the agent circles that he does. I'm sure he has heard, for the amount of time that we have heard, that Walker Kessler and his camp have not been thrilled with how Utah has handled that situation. But at the same time, like, If you're keeping your powder dry for this summer, it just doesn't seem as if they fully understood how limited you are if that is plan A, B, and C is this, you know, this cap space approach, especially when in order to get that cap space, you need to, you know, renounce, or your roster needs to get a lot worse really fast, and then you have to hope to bring those guys back. Like, there were just, I don't know, I there have been way too many variables at play in this plan for it to be the summer that Rob Pelinka promised Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, this is a part of taking good players from other teams, right? Usually teams don't want to just let their good players go. That's what good franchises do. They hold on to them or get some type of value in return for them. And that's where the Lakers are, where they're kind of going out and looking at centers that are on other teams. But this is what happens when you don't draft. Like, you don't draft, you haven't drafted well. You don't have prospects to trade, when you don't have salaries to move. This kind of situation you're in. But you're right, this is the summer that they've sold, and I think they understand that. They understand the pressures of that. I don't think, like, people have kind of this conversation will come up when they select at number 25, which I think they will. Although I guess people are saying that trades are kind of going to be going to start to rise here at these 20-25 picks. But I think you can select at 25 and still have a really good summer. I'm just very curious to see which route they go. But they need to get a center, though. That's whichever route they go this offseason, they need to get their center situation figured out.
And it just involves so many variables that are beyond their control. By the way, we got another trade. The Grizzlies are moving back even further to 21 and picking up 3 second rounders in the process. This is kind of like what I talked about at the top, right? Where a lot of teams figured that there's enough talent throughout the first round that they could continue to move back so long as they find the right teams willing to move up for somebody that they really, really like. I really like the series of moves that the Grizzlies have made here. Second rounders are going to be absolutely vital in this, you know, not just this current CBA, but now that the league is really, trying to quell any tanking efforts. I think some of the anti-tanking resolutions are going to make second round picks all the more valuable. So to pick up 5 second rounders to go from 16 to 21, I think that's pretty outstanding.
Would you move the 25th pick for 2 second rounders?
Well, it depends on how far back I'm moving. Because Memphis isn't moving completely out of the first round. They've just moved back. So they've gone, they traded 16 for 17 and 2 second rounders. And then they traded 17 and to get, 21 and 2 second rounders, 3 second rounders. You know what I mean?
Well, they moved 4 spots back and got 3 second rounders for it. That's good business, actually. That's like really good business. If you think your guy is not around, or if he's gonna fall, picking up 3 seconds to move back 4 spots, not bad.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I'm really kind of curious. The Lakers have. Charlotte has 2 minutes left before they make pick number 18. I feel like picks 15 through 18 have taken a long time.
Yeah.